Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I love Foodie Friday. I am so excited today because we have got two separate interviews. Yes, two in this one podcast. Okay, so the first is a fantastic Elizabeth Nyland. We're going to be talking about her book, Cooking with Coconut Oil, Gluten-Free, Grain-Free Recipes for Good Living. There are more than 75 mouthwatering gluten-free, grain-free coconut oil and coconut flour recipes in this wonderful, wonderful book. And then following that, we have a completely separate interview with Art Smith. I love Art Smith. Art Smith's Healthy Comfort, How America's Favorite Celebrity Chef Got It Together, Lost Weight, and Reclaimed His Health. So the first 13 minutes or so, you're going to be able to listen to Elizabeth. And then please stay tuned afterwards for Art Smith. Hi, I'm Lisa Davis, and I love to cook and I love to bake, and I am a huge fan of coconuts. So boy, was I excited when I got the book, Elizabeth Nyland's book, Cooking with Coconut Oil, Gluten-Free, Grain-Free Recipes for Good Living. I also love gluten-free, grain-free. So this is perfect. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Let's talk about this. When did you first discover the joy of coconut and coconut oil in particular?
I think I started using it about 5 years ago now. I dabbled in a little bit of veganism and vegetarianism, and having a food blog really brings all the trendiest food things right to the forefront. So I heard about it back then, and I thought, oh, I've never heard about that. I'm going to try it.
Is this you, by the way, with the amazing arms and the beautiful tattoo of the fruits and the avocado on your arm? Is that...
In that picture, I think I was still getting it. It's not even done in that picture. She did a blue outline afterwards. So yeah, that was pretty fresh.
You are so fit. My gosh, I want your arms. Okay, talk to us about some of the recipes, and also about how you get so fit.
I know everyone says, I want to get your arms. So I'm going to say all to the ladies out there, start lifting those weights.
Yeah, I've been lifting weights. It's definitely making a difference. And the paleo lifestyle I love, so... Well, let's talk about some of the things that you can make, especially these grain-free waffles. Now, you use almond meal, which I love. You also use coconut flour. I've played around with almond meal. I haven't used coconut flour yet.
Yes, you should try. So in the book, I really tried not to use too much almond meal, because I just feel like, and it's been talked about recently, too, on the internet and food blogs, is that there's just too many things made out of all this almond meal, like a whole cake made out of, you know, 5 cups of ground up almonds might not be the healthiest thing to eat.
Sure.
So I decided I would try to use mostly coconut flour in here, because coconut flour is fat-free. They take all the fat out. That's how they get the coconut oil. And then it's also gluten-free. It's really high in fiber, so you don't need to use very much of it. Some of the recipes only call for maybe a quarter of a cup. It's high in proteins, low in carbs, and it's low in the glycemic index, so it's really good for diabetics.
Oh, great. Well, I made your avocado pesto dressing, and it is so good. And I want to mention that that is nut-free, which is nice for folks who have nut sensitivities.
Yes, a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of different food allergies, and I hope a lot of the recipes are either allergy-friendly or at least modifiable for people that do have a little bit of... And that's the other thing, is that so many people do have nut allergies, so... Using nut flours is not very, you know, I have 2 kids, you can't bring anything to school that has any nuts in it.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I know, it can be tricky. Now, you know, it's funny, I absolutely love So Delicious coconut milk, unsweetened vanilla. I don't know if you've tried it. But for some reason, when it comes to straight coconut or coconut oil, are there any recipes that you have where it's not really strong? Because that's one thing that I notice sometimes.
The coconut flavor?
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much all of the savory dishes, I would say you can't taste the coconut at all, because there's only like a tablespoon or two, maybe a couple teaspoons of coconut oil. I personally find that the oil is pretty neutral. Once you're cooking with it, it doesn't really taste like coconuts. The coconut flour is very coconutty, so the baked goods do tend to have a hint of coconut, but usually there's enough other things added that you can't really taste it too bad.
Okay, because I was looking at these bacon and sweet potato meatballs. I mean, that just sounds incredible.
Yeah, it does not taste like coconut.
Okay.
I personally wasn't really that big a fan of coconut when I first started using coconut products either, so I've kind of eased into it, so I feel your pain.
Okay. Now, how long did it take to put all these recipes together? Was there a lot of trial and error?
Well, I've had the food blog for a while, so some of the recipes in here are tried and tested from the food blog. They've been on for years, or I've cooked with them for years. Some of the recipes I've just been making for years and never published on my food blog, like the cake and a couple of the salad, the pork chops with the apple compote. So they've definitely been tested for years. The cookbook itself only took about 4 months.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. Well, I am a huge fan of beef stew, and I only eat grass-fed beef, and I'm glad it says that, obviously, in the book, grass-fed beef or bison. How is your beef stew? It looks fantastic.
Well, my husband will tell you it's the best one he's ever had.
Ooh, okay.
I think I took some inspiration from my mother there. She was a big comfort food fan when I was a kid, so she taught me all I need to know about stews.
Oh, now you have something I've noticed in some of the recipes, coconut aminos or gluten-free soy sauce. What are coconut aminos?
So I'm not quite sure. I believe it's somewhat similar to how they make soy sauce. Like it's a fermented, they take the coconut sap and then they ferment it, and that makes coconut aminos, very high in amino acids. It's kind of like soy sauce, but it's a lot sweeter.
Oh, okay. And I could probably find that at Whole Foods or other health food store.
Whole Foods. Yeah, they'll have it.
All right.
Less salty and a little bit more sweet.
I also love a good bolognese sauce, and this spaghetti squash bolognese looks fabulous.
That's one of my favorite things.
Really? Okay.
I used to love pasta, you miss it a little bit.
Yeah, you do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to catch up. I was going to ask you about the, it has instant coffee in it. That's interesting.
That's a little secret from my dad. Normally, I would never use instant coffee for any reason. But he used to make chili when I was a kid. He would cook it overnight, so it would just cook for hours and hours and hours. And his secret was he always added like a big rounded teaspoon of instant coffee, because my parents drink instant coffee, and it just adds this kind of richness. You can't taste the coffee, but it just beefs it up a little bit.
Now, you mentioned earlier if you use too much coconut flour, it tastes coconutty, but I want to try to make these dark chocolate brownies, because that looks like it's mostly almond meal and then 3 tablespoons coconut flour.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they're too coconutty. Even the coconut-based, like the coconut flour-based baking stuff, it's not, usually it's got frosting or chocolate chips or something in it, and the brownies for sure are very chocolatey, so I don't think there's any hint of coconut in there either.
Yeah, I'm also impressed that you only use 2 tablespoons of honey, and then you use the 8 large medjool dates, which are so great for sweetening things.
Yeah, I think personally for me, like, I think I've been on a lower sugar, I mean, not a diet, but I just don't use that much sugar. So for me, they're totally sweet enough. Everyone I gave them to never complained, oh, there's not enough sugar in these brownies.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just try to keep the sugar to a minimum so I don't feel bad when I'm giving them to my kids.
All right. Well, you are my hero, because I have been looking for a chocolate avocado mousse that does not have bananas. And I was so excited to come across yours. I still need to make it. Because it seems like every single recipe has bananas, and I don't like bananas.
Really?
I know, I'm such a pain in the butt. I don't like bananas. I don't like this. So this looks awesome. Is it as awesome as it looks?
You just need a really good mixer of some kind.
Like I have
a really
good
blender.
Does that work?
Yes, that will work. Okay. You'll be good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And it looks pretty fast, too.
Yes. Yeah, it comes together in 10 minutes. You just throw it all in the blender, blend it up. You can be fancy and pipe it out like I did, or you can just scoop it into bowls. It's pretty easy. My kids love it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, this, I know, I was just so excited to get your book. What are some of your favorites?
I think everyone keeps asking me that, and I always come back to something different, but I think for me, the best one, and I always come back to it, is the carrot cake. I am just a huge carrot cake fan, and I think ever since my wedding, when my husband decided that we weren't allowed to have carrot cake because he didn't think the guests would like it, I've just been obsessed with it. I just want it for every birthday. Just carrot cake.
Oh, good. Now, you mentioned earlier in the show that you had been a vegan before. What switched you over to a more paleo diet?
I was overweight as a teen, so I've always kind of dabbled in whatever is trendy health-wise just to see, you know, what I can do next or how much muscle I can get or whatever. So I tried the vegan diet, and it was okay. I didn't feel that satisfied. I didn't miss the meat that much, but I didn't feel that good. I kind of had a lot of stomach problems. We ate a lot of salad. It might have been all the raw vegetables, but I just wasn't feeling it. So then we talked to some friends who were on the paleo diet, and they told us all about it. And I just thought, that has all of the food that I love. I get to eat all the food that I love, high fat, and it's got lots of grass-fed meats, and it just sounded like the best thing ever. So I had to try it, and it really is the best thing ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's talk about your strength training program. You mentioned in the beginning lifting weights. How often do you lift, and what do you recommend for people just starting out? I know we're talking about your cookbook, but I just have to ask, with those arms.
So I lift about 3 days on, and then I take a day off. That's my schedule most of the time. Sometimes if we're lifting really heavy or we did a really big cardio session, we'll do 2 days on, 1 day off. But it's always 1 day between 2 or 3 days. Never 5 days in a row. I'd just be exhausted. and we do what's known as CrossFit, but we don't use any programming from gyms or the CrossFit.com website. We do our own programming. So there's a lot of, you know, the regular stuff you see in the gym, doing some bench press, curls, that kind of stuff. We do deadlifts. I think for anyone starting out, they should definitely at least take one personal training session, just because form is so important when you are lifting weights.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate that. And you mentioned, so you're doing cardio as well.
Yes, yes. Every Friday I go for a run with one of my friends. So that's one cardio session. And then usually we do, in CrossFit, you don't really do like what your normal cardio session would be, but we do, we just lift weights faster. We do plyometric training as well, box jumps and sprints, that kind of stuff. So no like long-winded cardio. I don't go running for an hour or anything like that.
Oh, I hear you. Wow, guys, you're doing everything right. Speaking of everything right, this recipe, my mouth is watering. Sweet potato crusted quiche. And what I love is it doesn't have any cheese in it, because I'm not a big dairy fan. Although I did find out about this One World Whey that I absolutely love. Just had to throw that in, even though I don't usually. It's from grass-fed cows, the whole nine yards. But oh my gosh, it's so good. It tastes unbelievable. Anyway, sweet potato crusted quiche. I've got to make this. I think I'm bringing this to the store today because I want to make some recipes this weekend.
Perfect.
Is this?
Yeah, there's no dairy in the whole book. I believe there might be one recipe that calls for dairy.
Oh, wow. Now, this calls for almond milk. I'm kind of sensitive to nuts, so can I substitute an unsweetened coconut milk beverage?
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Oh my God. I can't get over it.
Grass-fed milk.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I can't get over how good these look. I make these all the time. I actually made these last night for dinner. You have Hasselback sweet potatoes, which I did. Well, I'll just cut mine up and I'll use a little olive oil and then I'll, you know, put them in the oven and put some salt. But yours, you use coconut oil, which I'm going to try. And then you use the cinnamon. And what's neat is you actually kind of keep them together. Like they're just, it looks like an accordion of a potato.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, and it shows you there's a little secret in there as to how to do that, because it is kind of hard not to cut all the way through the potato. But you put chopsticks right next to the potato. You kind of cut off the bottom of the potato so it lies flat, and then you put two chopsticks next to it, and then you cut down into it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I get a lot of cookbooks. Let me just say, Elizabeth, yours is just incredible. It's so well done. And, I mean, here's more. I love sweet potatoes. Sweet potato cups with baked eggs and apple maple bacon granola. Now, that's interesting.
Cool. That's a good one.
Really? Talk to us about the bacon with the granola. How does that taste?
So, you know, most granolas they're terrible for you.
Yes.
The store-bought kind, usually full of sugar and some sort of refined seed oil. So a lot of people in the paleo community, they're looking for snacks. It's kind of hard to snack when you can't have any kind of grain or anything like that. A lot of those things make up a good portion of the snack world. So this one's, it's got a lot of nuts in it, but it's not a lot of protein with the nuts. So I thought, you know, everyone loves bacon. So I throw some bacon in there. You cook the bacon a little bit beforehand, and then you toss it in there with some dried apples, and it's just the perfect amount of salty and sweet and crunchy, and it's addictive.
Oh, sounds amazing. Now, if I made your Black Forest smoothie, which has almond or coconut milk, cherries, banana, cocoa powder, protein powder, I'd recommend the One World Whey, teaspoon vanilla, coconut oil, could I make that without the banana, or would it change the consistency too much?
It would be a little less thick.
Okay.
But I think that's about it, yeah. I know a lot of people don't like the banana in the smoothie.
Yeah, my husband loves it, but I just can't.
I only put it in there for consistency, really. So you could put, if you're okay with xylitol, you could put a tiny bit of xylitol in there, or guar gum if you needed to thicken it. But I think it would be fine without that.
Okay, I love xylitol. All right, well, your book is Cooking with Coconut Oil, Gluten-Free, Grain-Free Recipes for Good Living, Elizabeth Nyland. Elizabeth, you are welcome here anytime. Give us your website and all the great information of how we can find out more about you and check out your beautiful arms.
It's guiltykitchen.com, and I'm on Facebook too.
Oh, terrific. Elizabeth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was so much fun. I love Elizabeth. I love her energy and I love her food. I also adore and love Art Smith, who's coming up right now.
I am so excited to have the fantastic Art Smith. He is amazing. He's a best-selling author, Top Chef Master's favorite, award-winning chef. He's going to be talking about his wonderful book, Art Smith's Healthy Comfort. Hello there, Art. I'm a huge fan.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you this morning and talk about something that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, let's talk about this. You made some pretty big lifestyle changes, didn't you? And tell us the reason behind it.
You know, as a chef, I love being a chef, but one of the most difficult things about being a chef is not only are you around food, but it seems like everybody wants to feed a chef. You know? And coming from a family who's had its challenges, particularly type 2 diabetes and losing family members, and then coming to terms with my own health and realizing at 50 years old I had type 2 diabetes, and I, you know, I was going through a lot in my life with opening restaurants, and you know, I had the symptoms, and the first thing I did was consult my doctor, and you know, and that was probably the best step that I took, was, you know, going directly to my doctor and saying I have a problem, and I really do need your help to help me develop a plan. Not only do I need my help to do my job better, but I need my help to feed people better. I think that, you know, we all want to know that when we go to a restaurant that we're eating healthful food, and I think that it's truly important to be a beacon of light for people, you know, because there's so many people out there, you know, like 26 million Americans are challenged with type 2 diabetes, and I think, you know, as you have loved me from seeing me on TV, you know, they love me, and they also, people love with other people who, that they, you know, have challenges such as this, and, you know, it's a disease that's not curable. But it can be managed, and I think that the people need to, you know, be aware of, you know, things like, you know, I was very aware of always checking, you know, my blood sugar and about, you know, about high blood sugar, but I was not aware of the dangers of low blood sugar and the causes and the symptoms. You know, it's knowing that when I felt dizzy or I felt, you know, I was going to faint. Also not being aware that, you know, certain diabetic medications can cause that. You know, it, most importantly, I believe that my doctor, you know, there was so much I didn't know, but he, you know, led me down the path to know.
Oh, that is great. And, you know, the good news is that you can eat delicious food when you have type 2 diabetes. And your cookbook proves it.
Honey, child, it ain't worth eating if it's not delicious. No, I'm telling you. You know, I wrote a book called Healthy Comfort. And, you know, all I could say, I think that, you know, everybody wants to have the cake and eat it too. Well, you know, you can have that, but you have to have it on the weekend. And then you have to just behave yourself during the week, you know.
I agree. Well, you offer so many great recipes. I made the shrimp and avocado ceviche. It was delicious. I love ceviche.
Thank you.
That's a great. You have so many great recipes. One of the ones that I want to make is the buckwheat pancakes with peaches and Greek yogurt. My daughter's a big whole grain kind of gal. She's only 8, and she's like, I want to take good care of my body. I've taught her well.
I mean, little babies, and you know, I'm all about children, and I have my kids' cooking program, which teaches healthy cooking to, can you believe we taught 33,000 children this year how to cook healthy?
Oh, that's fantastic,
and
Art.
You know, I think at a young age, if you teach a child and you give them healthy and fresh, that they develop their palate. And, you know, one of the things we have to be aware of, too, is that, you know, in children, you know, and as children grow up, they become adults, and you know, and by giving them healthful food, their chances of something happening to them, as it happens to me, are less. And I think most importantly is that for a person like myself, as in the media, I want to make people aware of the fact that you can live a helpful, delicious life, and use the challenges which have been that are given to you as you know, it's blessings. I mean, I feel that because of this, I'm a better chef. I feel that it's reinvented me as a chef. You know, I've done things, you know, that I didn't think I'd ever do, and I have more energy than ever. But I'm very happy that having a great doctor, you know, a great program like taking diabetes heart.com. I'm giving people help, you know, wonderful, helpful information, you know, great recipes, resources. You know, it's amazing the information there. But it's a matter of getting people there to read the information. And I think probably the best of all is that when people see a person that they enjoyed and they've loved, and seeing the fact that they themselves have those challenges, I think it's that itself is so important. So that's why I've always been extremely upfront and forward about my type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It really does. I have to say, I love the chilled quinoa with smoked turkey and edamame. I'm a big grain salad kind of person, and quinoa is amazing. I also have to say, I'm so envious that you've cooked for President Obama and First Lady Michelle. I want to make that favorite glazed salmon.
That's a great recipe. And, you know, I want to tell you something. The first family, or the healthiest family we've had in that White House in a long time. And, you know, what Michelle did with that garden, you know, did it feed America? It inspired America. Well, it goes again with what we're doing. Is the fact is, can I inspire America to take their diabetes to heart and to realize that if a chef can do it, I can do it. You know, I think that most people, they just want to live a beautiful life, and coming from a family who's had its own challenges, and, you know, and we've had losses in our family. You know, my mother, she too has had challenges with type 2 diabetes, and I just took her to Israel, and at 78 years old, she was just, you know, walking all over Jerusalem and the Sinai Peninsula and all of these different places, and she looks amazing and she feels amazing. But, you know, she was a beacon of light for me. She's the one that, you know, that told me, she said, honey, you need to watch it and you need to be aware. And the fact is, you know, that diet is such an important part. And, you know, one of the things I always loved about Mom was, you know, I would be cooking for this person and that person, but she'd all said, honey, are you taking care of yourself? Are you getting your rest? Are you eating right? You know, all those are great, you know, wonderful advice, you know, coming from someone that loves you. And most importantly, that's another important factor of dealing with challenges when it comes to your health, is bringing all those people who love you, you know, closer to you and them supporting you. I'm glad that you're enjoying the book, and I just really hope that the book, and, you know, there's some fun, when you have an opportunity, there's some fun stories in there. And I talk quite a bit about my diabetes and going to my doctor and being, you know, scared, but then what the wonderful was is that he put all that at bay and he developed a program for me and helped me manage it and made me aware of, you know, the importance of checking, you know, my A1C and being focused about my blood pressure as well as my cholesterol. I mean, those are things that a 53-year-old man, it's hard to believe I'm 53, you know, that, you know, it's just something, you just have to be responsible but also you can also be delicious and you can cook delicious food and look delicious.
You really can. I think that's a big message, isn't it? I think a lot of people, when they get the type 2 diabetes diagnosis, they think, oh my gosh, what am I going to eat? And is anything going to taste good again? And you're so hopeful and you've got all these great recipes to help people out. And I think that's so wonderful and inspiring.
Exactly. I think one of the things too, and is that people, you know, what I always say to people is that when you have to look at yourself as whole, and then everything you touch should be whole. And, you know, I'm a chef. I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm about, you know, as I grow older and wiser, I understand the importance of foods that are fresh. And for some people, you know, that's a challenge. But the reality is there's a lot of really delicious food that's available that is good for you. And I think what's wonderful, too, is that there's all this great information that's out there for you. I think we just have to be a beacon of light and direct people to it. And also, I think most importantly, is that a lot of people, when they're challenged with something like type 2 diabetes, they're afraid to talk to their doctor. And it's important that they talk to their doctor and develop, you know, a program that manages theirs, because every case is different. And each one of us are beautiful in our own way. But, you know, what it's worked for me, may not work for others, but I can tell you that what I can tell you is how to make some delicious food that will make you feel comfort inside and also make you and help you learn to be more comfortable about your health and not feeling that you're isolated and that it's all about you. And I what's great about those recipes is that your whole family will enjoy them. And I think that's the other key, too, is that as I think when it comes to health, it's not about one, it's about the whole. And the whole family should be equally involved in it. And because many of the things that, for people that have challenges with type 2 diabetes, you know, people who don't have challenges should not be eating. And the reality, too, is that, you know, the importance of, you know, exercise and, you know, taking a stroll and walk and, you know, of course, you know, it's important. Again, you know, you need to talk with your doctor. But, you know, eating just delicious whole foods and light exercise can make a profound change. You know, it's amazing what, you know, and I'm always shocked about how many people don't eat breakfast and how important that is. And I got up at crack of dawn this morning, but, you know, it was important to me to have my oatmeal. And I think, and that's an affordable choice for people in the morning.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's so many things we can do. Well, Art, I'd love to know, are you still friends with, what's her name, Elena? There was a woman on the show, Top Chef Masters, that you had such a great connection with.
Oh, Lorena. Am I friends with her? Honey, child, we're like, she's like my wife. I mean, you know, first
I'm so
of all,
glad.
She's Venezuelan. And you know, I've spent 14 years with a Venezuelan, you know, so, you know, she is like my wife. We talk all the time. She and I adore each other. In fact, we're going to actually do something together, which we're working on. And I don't think that show was a complicated show. And Lorena was there with me, and I was with her the whole time. And it was she's just a really lovely, fun lady. And I think she brings sexy and you know beauty to an arena, and that. I mean, I think I was telling a group of women I was speaking to in the West Bank on this trip I was on about, the first thing they started talking about was fast food. And I said, it's changing, ladies, it's changing. And I do believe that the public is becoming so aware of knowing that when it's quick, it may not necessarily be good for you. But one of the great things, what I love about Lorena is that she's gone in there and she's helping to make change. And, because, you know, we can tell people what to eat, but, you know, as we know, it's a challenge for people to find something to eat and find something that's affordable.
Art, this has been wonderful. I just adore speaking with you. Tell us all the ways we can learn more about you and your fabulous work.
Yes, ma'am. They can go to chefart.com or they can follow me at chefartsmith on Twitter.
Art, I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. Keep it up, and thank you so much.